Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. We are in the series called Soul Success. I'll remind you that the greatest intent that I have as your pastor, as a minister, is to see every aspect of your life explode with the manifestation of all of the benefits that Jesus Christ spent blood to obtain for you. And I am bulldog, donkey, adamant about fighting for those things. So much so that I've actually offended folks that are no longer here, because I actually wanted it more for them than they wanted it. If there was a major problem that I have to overcome on a regular basis, it is wanting things to happen in people's lives more than they want them. And I have to learn to shut my trap because a bunch of folks like their misery. I'm not talking probably in here. People that I'm talking about. People that have problems, issues, depression, poverty, sicknesses, and you want to offer help to them. Oh, I'm good. So you're okay with that. You know, I'm not okay with it, but I'm okay with it. In other words, they're not okay with it enough to actually do something to change it, but they're not okay with it not enough to complain about it. You know what I'm talking about? Like whine about... It's like people that whine about the government all the time and do nothing. If you have a problem with the government killing babies, you can do something about that. Or you can complain about it on Facebook, because that changes the world. Amen. If you actually have a problem with something, I will show you by your life and your lifestyle that you do something. You actually have a problem with not eating. And so you will wake up tomorrow morning at whatever time and you'll go do something that you probably don't want to do or you don't like to do, and you'll do it for someone that you don't necessarily like so that they give you money so that you can buy food so you don't starve to death. That's action. The worst thing about that is that you work all week, if you have a job, you work all week in hope and faith that your employer is going to reward you. And some folks in this room will not give tithes, honor God with their substance, because they don't believe that God will return it. So to put that in legitimate language, you have more faith in your boss than you haven't got. Because there's action to it. Faith is action. The word pistis is a verb. It is an action. It's not a thought. There's another word for that. And I want to convince you. That's actually a Bible word. Convince is the word convict. When you see convict in the Bible, a more 2019 way to translate that word is convince. We take convict always to the negative. It was never always meant to be the negative. If I convince you that Jesus is Lord and you give your heart to Jesus, then the conviction of God was on you. You were convinced and it changed your life. So that's not negative. That's good. So you need to bring conviction to people's lives if you understand that you are convincing them of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. The word truth, if you look it up in the Greek, it means genuine. It means genuine. Everything else is a copy or a duplicate. If you're not living it the way Jesus is living it, then you have some other, you're copied after something else. Adam and Eve were created to be authentic and genuine to the nature of their father. And then someone came along and convinced them to be of another copy. It's exactly what the devil tried to do to Jesus, but if you remember, Jesus knew that he was a son. You could not take away from him the genuine of being the beloved Son of God. And that is why the enemy failed, because Jesus was secure in his identity as being the genuine, only beloved, only begotten Son of God. When you become convinced of those things, the devil, society, sickness, disease, poverty, anything that is contrary to the truth, to the genuine, will cease to exist in your life. Because you will not be convinced of anything other than the true, the authentic, the genuine. This is what impassionates me. This is the fire shut up in my bones to see folks in Pakistan, to see folks in Texas, all the places that I'm going to be going, all the places that I've been, all the places that I will go, and this pulpit, this building, what burns me. Sometimes I wake up in the middle, just this tonight, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was going through this stuff in my head. I'm like, how do I get this? How do I convince? How can I drill this down into some folks that just... And I was going over it and going over it and going over it. And anybody in this room that knows that when you wake up in the middle of the night, if your head starts taking off, it's like, okay, Jesus, love you. But I also know I got to fly, what's our flight, like 16 hours tonight. I'm like, I mean, I know you got me. I really could be sleeping right now. But you're on my mind. I go through your faces. If you think that's creepy. But, I mean, I can stand up here. You don't know, like, on Wednesday mornings, we have corporate prayer. And a bunch of times, folks will leave, and I'll just stay here. And I'll walk around this pulpit, and I'll see if you're in your... Most of you, I don't know, most, half of you tend to kind of have, like, a place. At least a section. And I can see your faces. And I'll be praying specific things over your lives. Prophesying. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge. You may never know. On Sunday mornings, you can ask the worship team, Sunday mornings, I'm pacing. Before anybody gets here, I'm up and down the aisles. I'm touching every chair. I am prophesying, declaring good things over your life. I understand, and this is, you may or may not get this, but I understand what Paul meant when he said that he would rather be accursed to trade for his brothers, the Jews, to come to salvation. I get that. I would, and don't take this in some weird, creepy way, but I would take a cross for anyone in here. I get it, why God, I get it. And so when I'm ministering these things, when I'm maybe a little over the top passionate about some of these things, and you roll your eyes, and I get it, I've been there too. I want you to hear the heart of it. I want you to hear why. So that you can file it under that category of, I have grace for Steve. Because I need it too, from you, from God. But then there's other times that if I'm in your sandbox, if I'm treading where angels dare not tread in your hearts and your lives, and I'm poking at stuff that shouldn't be there, I would like for you to also have the same grace that you have for me when I'm maybe in a place I shouldn't be. Have the same grace to receive me if I'm in the place I should be. That I'm anointed and called by God to go. Are we okay with that? I'm not saying like I'm going to purposefully get into... I know a bunch of people are like, oh my God, what are you going to preach on? I'm not saying it for that. I want you to hear my heart. Like this is... I want you to be 100% completely divinely healthy in every way that manifests in your body. I'm talking like if there's a hair that doesn't act right, you declaring the finished work of the cross over that hair, or hair that's not there for all you good-looking fellows. If there's, I mean, a twinge, just a pain, it's kind of been there. I mean, just a little something that's out of place. I'm not even talking about the huge stuff, raising the dead and defeating cancer and HIV and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking like this body, like even a twinge of something that was purchased on the cross to not be there. A little bit of arthritis, a little congestion, a little whatever. I'm believing with you. If you're willing to literally take this thing all the way to where Jesus purchased it for you, if you're willing to take it there, I'll believe with you. Now you're free to at whatever level you want to do that. I'm just letting you know that Jesus spent blood to take you to that level, to the genuine, authentic of what He is. The same thing with finances. Let me tell you what wealth is. Wealth is Jesus Christ. Not one time ever was He concerned about not having the money. The definition of wealth is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, where it says that you have enough to give to every good work. Now, I got news for you. I got a bunch of good works on the inside of me that's going to take millions. So if you think you're wealthy, you're not. Unless you can write me a check for, I have ideas for at least $20 million. So unless you can write that check and it's good, then you're not wealthy yet. Because I need at least $20 million, and I'm just starting to envision some stuff. Jesus was wealthy. When He fed the 5,000, if you remember, the disciples came to Him, and they said, Jesus said that. The disciples said, we need to send everybody away because it's getting late. Nobody's ate. We don't want people to pass out. And Jesus said, well, you feed them. And their immediate response was, man, if we bought all the bread in all the villages around us, it probably still wouldn't be enough. And if you go and look at those verses, they weren't saying like, man, we can't do that. We don't have enough money to buy all the bread. They were saying like, it still wouldn't be enough if we bought all the bread. They had the money to buy all the bread. Jesus' ministry was wealthy. If you don't believe me, have 12 people at least on your staff and have the accountant that's on your staff steal money anytime he wants and nobody notices. Right. Yeah. Judas helped himself to the bag all the time. Jesus was wealthy. He was so wealthy that he had enough money to buy all the bread, but yet still got the bread from heaven. Man, think about that. That's wealth. It's not a Rolls Royce or... I mean, I don't want to go there. It's not stuff. It's ability. Wealth is ability. And I want you to have it. I'll almost guarantee that nearly everybody in this room, if you had more ability, things would change around you. For the good. For the good. Some of you, maybe not. And you and the Lord need to sort that. And if you're not trying to change things a little bit now with what you have now, then obviously you're one of the people that need to change it, because you can't tell the Lord, if you gave me $1 million, I'll give you 100. No, because if he gives you 10 and you don't give him a dollar, you won't give him 10% of a million. Thank you for those four amens. These are things that Jesus purchased. And now here's the thing. They all flow through the soul. They all flow through the soul. The soul is the gateway. It's either the restrictor or it's the valve of release. That doorway between the spirit, your spirit person, your spirit man, has all of the wealth, power, and ability of heaven itself. Your spirit man is directly connected to heaven. That's why Jesus said you can pray on earth as it is in heaven. The only way for you to be able to pray that is for that to be able to happen. The only way for it to happen is for it to flow through you. So that means that your spirit man right now has access to all of the wealth, all of the health, all of the joy, all of the peace, all of the glory, all of the anything you can imagine about heaven. Your spirit man is directly connected to that and as well as ready, willing, and able to release it. But your heart is a door between your spirit and your soul. And if your heart is constricted, calloused, fat. I went through a whole series. I got a series called The Heart. And I went through a whole series. The Bible talks about having a calloused heart, about having a fat heart, about having a dark heart, about having an evil heart of unbelief. Your heart, just because you're born again and you get a new heart, doesn't mean that your new heart always operates godly. You still have to operate on purpose in your heart in a godly way. When you do that, you open things up for your soul. When your spirit man is flooding your soul with spirit power, with heavenly things, that's when manifestation takes place in the natural. Hebrews 11:1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Substance. Faith brings substance. It makes things appear that would not otherwise appear. And faith is something that flows from your heart because you're convinced. So our core is 3 John, doesn't have any chapters, but chapter 1, verse 2. 3 John, chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, say that's me. I pray / wish. Remember that this word isn't like I wish upon a star or rub a genie lamp. This is a godly desire. It's like a hope-filled, but I can't pray it because it's like it's witchcraft to pray God to do something to you. Does everybody get that? I don't want to like move off of that. You can't pray things to happen in other people's lives. Do you know that? No. This is yes. This is no. Because I don't know where we're at. You cannot pray for things to happen to other people. If you do, it's witchcraft. You can pray that things happen in other people's lives because of the word going into them, because of seeds being planted in them, because they've got laborers that are going into their fields. But I can't just say, God, make Dixie healthy in Jesus' name. That's not my proclamation. I can't command God. God's not my dog on a leash to go sick Dixie. Got quiet. I thought I was better at this. So if I want Dixie healthy, the Bible says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So what I would do is I'll go to Dixie and I'll say, Dixie, let me give you some scriptures on healing. Do you know about the finished work of the cross? You know Jesus took stripes in his back. You know about 1 Peter 2:24. Do you know about Matthew 8:17? And then I will talk to her about the Word. That Word will create faith in her. And when she creates faith in her, faith brings the substance of healing. Now, what if Dixie doesn't receive from me? Well, then I'll pray that laborers come into her field because she said, well, Pastor Steve's mean to me, but when Bob told me about that healing stuff, I totally got it. Okay, I'm cool with that. So I'll pray that Pastor Bob listens to God and goes to where he's supposed to go, goes into a ripe field and reaps the harvest that God has. But I can't just pray, God, make Dixie healed. He already did 2,000 years ago on the cross with Jesus. Amen. You can't pray, God, save so-and-so. I really need you to save my kid. Like, you want your kid saved more than God? Who died on a cross for them? Dear Lord, who do you think you are? God wants them saved more than you ever possibly could ever want them saved, and knows more about what that takes than you do. So you praying God to do it, what's he going to do? Resend Jesus? Go back to the cross, kid, because I guess they didn't get it. No. That's why Jesus said, pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into the field. So what I can do is, God, please send someone that my dense kid will listen to, who will tell them the gospel. So I can't just pray these things happen in your life. What I can do to make these things happen in your life is I can have a godly hope and a desire that's going to make me study the scriptures, make me pray, make me in tune with the Spirit so that when I stand up here, I release the anointing and the grace of God from my mouth. It goes from my heart, from my mouth into your ear holes and goes through your brain. And if your brain doesn't deflect it, then it goes down into your soul. Your soul says, woohoo! And then your soul says, hey, heart, take this. Your heart says, okay, I'm convinced. Faith. Manifestation. But if you say, well, I don't believe in all that healing stuff, you know what your brain just said? Yeah. No parking. Don't come here. You ever heard the phrase, in one ear and out the other? We didn't invent it. God is bringing faith with every... Nearly every single word that I'm releasing, there is an opportunity to let your brain take it and bring it into your soul and into your mind, into your godly mind and into your heart. And if you bring it in there, your heart knows what to do with that seed, which is the Word of God. Your heart is dirt, and the Word of God is a seed. Your heart knows exactly what to do with it, but it's got to get there. It's got to filter through your brain and filter through your logic and filter through your experiences and filter through all of this, all of your worldview and filter through what the old preacher that you used to listen to says and what that one guy on YouTube says. And you filter through all that kind of stuff. And if that seed somehow magically gets through your spider web and into your heart, this is why I've been fussing at people more often lately about listening to a dozen different YouTube preachers. Because if you got one YouTube preacher telling you this and then Pastor Steve telling you this, it's not that maybe one of us is wrong, but if you've got multiple things coming at you, your brain, your heart doesn't know what to take, and so it just rejects it. You need to make sure that you get stuff in sync. And I'm not saying that I'm better than any preacher out there, okay? And I encourage you to listen to all the preaching you can, but I'm saying that if you're getting stuff that's contrary to what the Holy Spirit is imparting on us as a group to get together, to learn, to grow in, to advance, then you might be off track and your heart's not going to be connected with that. We have a calling. We have a purpose here at Beloved Church. And so we have got to make sure that we are on track together to get there. So I'm not saying that if you're listening to somebody and they say something contrary, that they're wrong and I'm right. They might be right. But I'm going to believe God that I get corrected and we get there together. I would rather for us to go there together and to be headed the right way together than for you to be struggling with which seed do I plant in my heart and which one's going to get me the... Just let it... Just let all your defenses down and let the Word come in. And if there's something contrary, then you just believe God for John chapter 16, I think it's verse 14, where Jesus said that the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance all words that Jesus said. So if Jesus isn't inspiring the things that I'm saying, just believe God that the Holy Spirit's going to make you forget it. And then when I ask you next week what I preached on this week, you're going to say, man, I remember everything. I wish, I pray, a godly desire, I desire above all things. Now, I want you to hear the heart. John was the Apostle John, but John spent a bunch of time pastoring. I want you to hear the heart of the shepherd, the disciple whom Jesus greatly loved, the disciple of love. This is how we know John by. I want you to hear agape speak to you. Above all things. Above all things. Now get that. Whatever it is that you think the primo thing that the love of God wants to make in your life happen, this is what the Bible says. The Bible says that above all things, what I desire to have happen in your life is that you are walking in divine health and that you are having prosperity. But John also knows that the source of that is through your soul. You having prosperity in finances and not having a prosperous soul will kill you. Now think about that. And I think Dennis was just talking about it. NBA guys that got gazillions of dollars, and then they leave the NBA and that money quits coming, and they're out there buying $1,000 a day worth of Coke. Money will kill you. But when you have a prosperous soul, now you can actually produce it. That's why Deuteronomy 8:18 says that God gives you the power, the ability to create wealth. Did you ever think about that? Like, where does that come from? Your soul. Your soul has the ability to create wealth. Dennis was just talking about it. He had million-dollar ideas. I know Dennis. We're really close. He's not that smart. It's the Holy Spirit. Those are Holy Spirit ideas. Right. Now think about it. I'm not like he's. Listen, Dennis is smarter than me. So if you think I insulted him, but it's not that natural intelligence. If you're doing something by your natural brain power, you're gonna wear out. Yeah, right. Amen. You can only push your brain so long before your brain says, "Okay, done." Right. Anybody ever cram for a test? And you hit that wall, okay, done, that's it, maxed out, cup overfloweth. That's because you're operating from your natural brain. There's only so much that you can do from your natural brain. Now, some of you are being able to produce a middle-class life from your natural brain. Way to go. God bless you. You can produce a super, super wealthy place from the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ speaks to your soul and gives you godly ideas, witty inventions, all of these incredible things that are going to able to prosper you beyond your imagination, pressed down, shaken together, running over. But God wants it to be in connection to the equivalency that you are allowing your soul to prosper. God would rather have you intimate with Him and broke than wealthy and ignoring Him. I pray above all things that you prosper and be in good health, even as to the degree equal to your soul prospering. Proverbs 14:30, a sound, and that word sound in the Hebrew means healthy, healed, cured. Healthy, healed, cured. A sound heart is the life of the flesh. So where does the healing for your flesh come from? Healthy heart. I can lay hands on any sick person, anywhere, anytime, and manifest healing in their lives. But I cannot lay hands on the sick and manifest divine health. I can lay hands on any sick person or dead person, and I can see a miraculous, supernatural something happen. Literally happened yesterday. But I cannot lay hands on you and make you manifest divine health. Divine health is something that you get from prosperity of your soul. And then you don't need folks to lay hands on you. I'm not saying that it's wrong. I'm not saying you get to some upper echelon place and you never need anybody to believe with you or pray for you or anything. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that you should be naturally, normally flowing health into your flesh from a prosperous, healthy soul. God should be renewing you every day. As you wake up every morning, His mercies are new, His life is new, He's flowing things into your life. If you hurt your back, anybody ever sleep and hurt themselves? Wow, you're only 20. I don't know if it happened when I was 20. But I mean, I woke up in the morning like, what, did Kay beat me up? Yes. That's what I get for mouthing off before I go to sleep. Man, I don't know why my back hurts. I don't know, honey. But sometimes you just wake up like it was like, what did I do? I was sleeping. And something's hurt. You can wake up and say, no. His mercy is fresh every morning. Right now, the same Spirit, Romans 8:11, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead lives in me and quickens, makes alive my mortal body. Your body is mortal. I'm not saying that you are going to live in divine health and live 10,000 years and you're never going to die. That's stupid, dumb doctrine. What I'm saying is that you have a right to believe God for at least 70, by strength 80, and if you actually go with the pre-law covenant that we have with God, then it's 120. I don't have time to get into all those numbers, but I'm telling you that you have a legal right, a pre-law covenant right to believe God for 120 years and to believe God that all of those years are healthy and that as you age, you actually mount up with wings like eagles and you walk and you won't faint and you run and none of these bad things happen to you. You can run at 120. And if you think that I have lost my mind and I'm off my rocker, Moses, who was the law, climbed a mountain, and I've heard that the mountain isn't like a rolling Illinois hill. He climbed a mountain at 120. He was still manly. I don't know how else to say this. He was capable. Virile. There you go. He was virile. And didn't wear glasses. At 120. Now, if Moses, who was the law, can do that, then we, who have achieved a higher, better, greater covenant, is what it says in Hebrews 8, we have a better covenant based upon better promises than what Moses had. So if we have a better covenant on better promises, and he could be completely, totally, divinely healthy at 120, then I think it's okay for us to believe for 120 and to be healthy all the way. You do not have to get old and get sick and get broken and get torn up, and then finally one day everything just falls apart and you die. You do not have to believe God for that. You can believe Satan for that, but you do not have to believe God for that. God went to a cross, bore stripes in His back to bring health to you. That's why He took the stripes on His back. By His stripes, we are healed. He didn't have to get beat with a whip. They could have just crucified Him and killed Him. And the same salvation, quote unquote, would have been purchased. Because most people think that His salvation, what He purchased on the cross, was the forgiveness of our sins. And the answer is yes. That's what He did purchase on the cross. And divine health, and wealth, and soul prosperity, and joy, and peace, and anything. He brought us back to what God intended for us to have in creation at the garden, to rule and to reign and to completely cover the earth with the Garden of Eden. So our job is to cover the earth with the Garden of Eden. In the Garden of Eden, nobody's sick, nobody's limbs are falling off, nobody's got a headache every morning, nobody's bodies are coming undone, nobody is broke. I mean, they had everything. Satan didn't come to Eve and say, hey, for $1 million, will you eat this apple? What? No. The only thing that he could tempt her with was to be more like God. It's the only thing that he had. Wouldn't that be great if the only thing someone could tempt you with is to be more godly? Amen. But he's figured out a few tricks since then.
Proverbs 14:30,
a sound, healthy, healed, cured heart is the life of the flesh. Now look, the opposite, envy is something that comes from the heart. Envy rotten. We need like the ESV. Is rottenness to the bones. Okay. Bones rotting. Does that sound like a physical problem? Okay. So does this say that rotting bones comes from bad asbestos? Well, God didn't know about asbestos, Pastor. Okay. I believe 90% of all sickness, illness, and diseases, as well as persistent poverty or lack, are caused from an unhealthy or a non-prosperous soul. Now, most people would argue, no, you don't understand. My uncle and my dad and my grandpa, and they all died at 50 from heart disease. And I know I have to take heart medication because I got high blood pressure. And be it unto you according to your faith. If you believe that your natural carnal DNA has more influence on your future than your divine DNA from the new birth, then you can have what you believe. But I'm not going to believe it. I've literally, on purpose, disconnected myself from my natural DNA. Love my mama. Love my dad. Honor them both. All that kind of stuff. But I'm not going to honor any sickness or disease that they have. And you shouldn't either. And you do not have to have a curse just because it went through your bloodline. Because Jesus changed your bloodline and he became a curse for you so that you could never be cursed. Or you can believe God to die at 50 like everybody else in your family. Your choice. Let me tell you something about freedom. Freedom doesn't make you a ruler. Freedom makes you a chooser. There's only two rulers, God and Satan. Now, what Satan will do is say, hey, if you follow my type of freedom, you'll actually be ruling. Amen. That, like, the 14-year-old girl that you know, she's, well, I hate these rules that my parents have for me, and I'm gonna go be with this 15-year-old boy because he's awesome. FYI, if you're a 14-year-old girl in here, there is no such thing as an awesome 15-year-old boy. I was one. I knew a bunch of them. They're all a mess. But she'll fight through because the enemy will say, no, you need to be free. You need real freedom is doing what you want to do. That's ignorant. You need to not be under the control of these oppressive parents. You need to get out from underneath your coach. He's just wanting to mess with your life. You need to not listen to those teachers. You need to not listen to that dumb, stupid Bible. That's for people from thousands of years ago. You need to go do your own thing. Go be free. Get out there. And fights through all of the protection that God gave her. And goes out there. And gets that 15-year-old boy. And has all the freedom she wants and a baby bump. And 15-year-old boy is gone. Because he don't want no baby bump. He just wanted a 14-year-old girl. And then homeless 14-year-old girl. Jobless 14-year-old girl. With a baby and a 14-year-old girl. And she's free. Free. No, you've just put yourself in multiple layers of slavery to the devil. Right. Now he's going to make you dependent on the government or make you use your body to make money. There's just all kinds of slavery that's involved with that particular bunch of choices. With God, God says, hey, 14-year-old girl, we know that 15-year-old boy is awesome. But here's the thing. If you do this in a godly way, that 15-year-old boy will grow up to be a 20-year-old godly man. He will honor you. He will love you. He will cherish you. He will protect your body by not violating it with premarital sex. And he will commit himself to be your knight in shining armor for the next 100, 120 years. If you do it this way. And that wise 14-year-old girl says, you know, that sounds like a lot more freedom to have 120 years of glorious marital bliss than to have 10 minutes of backseat lie. Freedom doesn't give you the chance to be a ruler. It gives you the chance to be a chooser. And God created you. He knows what's going to bring great, glorious, wonderful, peaceful, joyful things into your life. So if you follow His direction, His lordship and His leadership, He will bring all those things to you. And the end result is it's going to be 10 billion times better than it ever would have been with you doing it through rebellion. Psalm 35, 27. Let them shout for joy. I literally did this last week. I'm going to keep putting the scripture on my messages. I know. I believe in you. Let them shout for joy. And be glad. You know why God loves a cheerful giver? That's probably not right. The reason God loves a cheerful giver is because then he and you both know that it's coming from the heart. You know, you can give to God legally. You can just say, okay, tithe. Bible says tithe. Dennis says tithe. Pastor Steve says tithe. Fine. Shut up. Here's your 10%. Keep it. You're going to need it. Badly. But if you can say, oh, I think Dennis is coming up to do the offering. Yes. I cannot wait to get these seeds in the ground. Man, these things have been itching in my pocket all week. You know what God's saying? Man, I'll tell you what, that is supernatural crop right there. Amen. Are they doing the offering again? Does he really have to talk for 10 minutes about an offering? Like we don't know that we should give? Man, I hate this church. It talks way about money, way too much. You know, a bunch of people said that about Jesus. Let them shout for joy. No. You just back it on up. That was a welfare yell. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. What is God's righteous cause? What is the cause that God has for you? That's based on righteousness. Think about that. Let them say continually. How often? Continually. When you're paying bills, is that part of continually? Yes. When Dennis is wealth building, is that continually? Yes. When the banker calls you and says that you're broke as a joke? Yes. When your boss says that you're a terrible employee? How often is continually? Only when it really looks like it? When somebody gives you a Pentecostal handshake? Here you go, Pastor, have fun in Pakistan. Oh, I'm going to say continually. No, you say continually when it doesn't look right. Oh, my Lord. Come on, y'all. Continually. We don't have to look this up. We could probably all speculate as to what the definition of continually is. Amen. You say it continually, guess what happens? It starts to continue. God's righteous cause starts to be continually happening in your life. And what is God's righteous cause that continually is happening? He becomes magnified because He's got great pleasure in the fact that prosperity is taking place in your life. Woo! You see my kids down there?
Oh my God, you see their souls? Man, come on, Gabriel, check this out. Do you see Tabitha's soul? There is no spot, there's no blemish, it's beautiful. Look at that beautiful soul on Tabitha. Gabriel, do you see that? Yeah, Lord, golly, it's like the third time today. I know, but I'm so impressed. Now, I know you're thinking, like, God doesn't do that. Really? Have you ever read Job? He does that all the time. The Bible says that his eyes go to and fro, searching throughout the whole earth. For people that he can condemn about their sin? For people that he wants to tell them how terrible they are? His eyes go to and fro. What is he looking for? People that will allow him to show himself strong on their behalf. So that he can say, "Woo, that's my girl. That's my guy. Look at all the great things that are happening in his life. God is, this is his righteous cause in your life." He wants to bring this to pass. And you need to say it continually. Hebrews 10:37-39. "For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith." You know, this is repeated at least verbatim, four times in the Scriptures. One in Habakkuk, one in Romans, one in Galatians, and one right here in Hebrews. Verbatim, repeated four times. This is actually, in Romans, when Paul used it in Romans, he wrote three chapters based on this one statement. Three chapters in Romans were based on this one statement. This is a pretty important thing, y'all. Is what I'm getting to. The just, the word just is those that have been made righteous. Has anybody in here been made righteous because of the cross? For the rest of you, we'll do an altar call after church and you can be born again. And if you're born again, then you are made righteous because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, not because you're awesome, but because Jesus is awesome. If you have been made righteous, the just, the ones that have been made righteous, shall live by faith. This word live is zao, Z-A-O in the Greek. This is the action or the verb tense of what Jesus was talking about in John 10:10. Now real quick, let me tell you about John 10:10. Jesus said that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come that they might have life. Okay, so, man, there's so much. Oh, you clock. I'm not going to, last time I cursed it, it fell off the wall. Jesus is the definition of life. Now listen, if he came to give us life, then what did we not have before him? So for 4,000 years of human history, nobody was alive. And you might be like, "Pastor, you've lost your mind." No. Listen. If Jesus said that I came to give you this, why would he give it to people that have it? Okay. So if Jesus came to give it, and this is the first time Jesus came to give it, then it wasn't given before. Okay. They had it once in the garden. And God said, "Hey, you've got it. Don't eat from the tree, because if you eat from the tree, you're not going to got it no more." Isn't that what he said? "If you eat of this tree, you shall surely die." Has anybody ever read the story? Did they keel over? But did they die? Yes. 4,000 years of dead people who were animated, breathing, living, procreating, hearts beating, eyes glistening, dead. Jesus came to bring life. No Jesus, no life. K-N-O-W Jesus, K-N-O-W life. And he had to specifically define it. Abundant. G4052 is the abundant life. Dennis has a business called G4052. This word in the Greek,
G4052 means the overwhelming. The best way to define it is the God kind, the God quality, the God quantity of life. Jesus, he didn't just come to give it, he came to show it and give it. Because we didn't know what it was. We were dense, y'all, dense. We didn't know what life was. We thought life, this is why he was constantly fighting the Jews. Because they were completely convinced that they had the life. Everything's fine. Why you gotta come over here and muck up the program? Everything's fine. I'm in charge. People give me money. They give me adoration and all that kind of great stuff. And God loves me, right? No, not so good. So Jesus came to show and then give the life. That's the life. There's no other life that doesn't come to that life. If it's not like that life, then it's death. Which is what the enemy is trying to steal. Are you following me? He's trying to steal the life. Jesus gives it to you, and then the enemy comes along and says, can't have him have that. Give me that, give me that, give me that, give me that. Now listen, in John 10:10, that Zoe life is exactly what's being referenced here in Hebrews. For yet a little while, and he shall come that will not come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. Active believing. And if any man draw back. If any man draw back. This is withdraw. This is back down. This is compromise. This is get out of the way. This is... I've got this really good Christian friend, but man, they said something that I didn't like. And it made me feel bad, so I'm going to get out of their life. This is like when godly correction comes into your life, and you're like, well, man, I don't want to be corrected no more. I'm out of here. I used to come and get counsel all the time, but then I got corrected that one time. I'm not doing that no more. It's drawing back. You know, God has a soul. Do you see this? But if any man draw back my soul, is that right? Your backup one says 38. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure. God's soul, God has a soul, God has a psyche that doesn't take pleasure when you back off. If you're not pressing in, God's soul isn't. Now, listen, God has a soul. God wants his soul to be prosperous. How does God's soul prosperous? By you having your soul prosperous. Man, I thought that would be like, wow, what a revelation. God has a soul. And his soul prosperity is based upon the fact that me being prosperous in my soul is really, I thought it was going to be a great, like, wow. Okay, whatever. But we are not of them. Now, I love this. Paul's like, look, we can do this. You got the freedom to draw back, but we're not those kind of folks. Say, I am not a drawback kind of person. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the Spirit. To the saving of the pocketbook. To the saving of the world. We are of the kind of people that believe to the saving, active, present tense, saving of the soul. Your spirit is saved. Your soul is being saved. One day your body will get saved. So the process of your soul being saved is going to take place if you're not drawing back, stepping away from the things that God's trying to do. Let me say this. Oftentimes, you can tell whether you are actually going to cross a precipice in your heart, in your soul, is if someone speaks something to you, especially a minister, especially a person of God that's preaching or teaching or under the unction, or your spouse who probably tends to be way more spiritual than you, if they say something to you and you don't like it. That's the spot. That's the spot. and you draw back. Darn it. This word for saving, this is not sozo. This is actually talking about the word which means to completely obtain. You know, you are supposed to possess your soul. I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but what is demonic possession? It's a demon that possesses your soul. Makes you do stuff, makes things happen in your life, makes you say things, makes you act in ways that you would never act because a demon possesses your soul. So what happens if you're the one that possesses your soul? There, God desires to possess, not possess as in like a demonic possession, but He wants to have all those places in your soul because He wants to flood it with the things that would happen. Now listen, like from this, let's try to draw a parallel here. I was trying to think about this. I don't know if I have language for this. So if a demon possesses your soul, you do stupid, dumb, idiotic, crazy, lunatic things. What would happen if the Holy Spirit possessed your soul? Wouldn't it be the opposite? You'd be talking life, you'd be thinking amazing thoughts, you'd be having godly ideas, you'd be laying hands, you'd be speaking health into people's lives, like all these things. Like, what if your soul was under that kind of control? You know, you are the one that determines who has control. Not God. And not a demon, for sure. This means soul, this word for saving means to have soul possession, complete possession, to completely hold. We are those, now put this into context, but we are not of those that draw back. So drawing back means that you are giving up control of your soul to whatever influence comes your way. But we are those that press into the promise of God. We are those that press into relationship. We are those that press into godly relationships on this earth. We are those that press into ideas and visions and dreams that God has given us. We are the ones that press in and then give our soul up to God to give Him the ability to work all things together for good to those that love Him and are called according to His purpose. Because you have the control of your soul, which is either prosperity or poverty, you choose. You have the control over your health and prosperity. You can never, ever, ever say again, well, I'm just sick because of whatever. No, you have to say, I'm sick because somehow I let something in. Now, it might have been innocuous, like you didn't plan on letting it in. I'm not saying that you're just some evil person because you let something in. But you have now been told that the enemy doesn't have right to just access your soul, dump a bunch of junk in it, and make your body sick. He no longer can back his dump truck up to you and unload garbage into you. How do you stop from doing that? Shut off the glowing screen. I'm sorry. A little. No, I'm not. I'm not even sorry. Shut it off. It is pumping garbage into your heart, your mind, and your soul. Pumping it. Now, if you're listening to me on YouTube, turn it on. But for the most part, if it's news or politics, or you know the media lies, right? Anybody not know this? So if it's a lie, even if it's a little white lie just from somebody because they have an opinion, you know, that's devil. Lie, devil. Father of all lies, devil. So a lie, any way that it gets into you, through people, through media, through glowing screens, through whatever, through, oh, well, it's flu season. Can someone show me the calendar that determines what day everybody doesn't have the flu and then at midnight everybody gets the flu? What is a flu season? Like what day, what nocturnal event took place that the flu just said, it's my day? There's no flu season. It's the people that make medicine trying to tell you, hey, it's flu season. You need to give me $20 for a shot, and you need to buy all this medicine, and you need to load up your
They want your money. They want your thoughts. They want your opinions. They pay for them dearly. They pay for them. It's not flu season. You don't have seasons like that in heaven. I promise you, Jesus doesn't walk around heaven and say, "All right, angels, sorry to let you know, half y'all getting a cold tomorrow." Because I just, it's the season. John 10:11, and I'm done. The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep. Does anybody know what the word life is? You might think it's Zoe. It's not. Jesus gave his psyche. Jesus gave his soul. If I was to write a Bible translation, I might. I would use all the same words in all the same places all the same time. Like the word life can be Zoe, can be Zeo, can be soul, can be... There's like four different Greek words that they use for the word life. They all don't mean the same. Jesus gave his soul to you. Man, think about that. Wouldn't it be awesome to give him back what he gave to you? Lord, you gave me your soul. Here's mine back. It's a small price for me to pay because what you did for me. You gave me your soul, I give you my soul. Eye for an eye. You can offer this up. You do not have to have depressive and oppressive and demonic and dark and worrisome and whatever the things that are going on in your soul, they don't have to be there. You can purge your soul by thinking on these things. Philippians 4:8-9. Says, think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and there be any praise, concentrate and meditate on those things. How often? Continually. If it's not good, it's not just, it's not love, it's not... Then you need to repent and put your soul back into the place where it should continually be. Amen? If this has taken place in you, if you find yourself regularly with your soul being the thing that's out of alignment, I want you to raise your hand. I'm going to pray this over you. Now again, I can't pray God do something on you, but this is an act of faith. Remember, faith is an action. This is an action. And in this scenario, this is going to be a submission. You're going to submit to the Spirit of God. That is going, you are going to give Him right to come in and lead. Remember, freedom doesn't give you the choice to be a leader. It gives you a choice to be a chooser. I want you to choose the influence of the Holy Spirit. It's going to look like you saying continually, "Let the Lord be magnified that has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." But I'm going to pray this directly for you, only for those folks that are going to actually submit to that kind of influence to take place in their life. And if you think that you've got a good grasp on what's going on in your soul and you're doing pretty well and you and the Holy Spirit are working stuff out, God bless you. I'm not forcing anybody to take this. But this is always the thing. Like at the end of the day, it always comes back to this. It was my thoughts. It was the dumb things that was going. It was the stress. It was the worry. It was the, if that's you, I want to break that over you. And I believe that there's an anointing. There's an opportunity to break that in here today. So if that's you, hold up your hand. I'm going to pray for you. Father, you see these hands. These hands represent hearts. These represent submitted hearts that desire prosperity to take place in them. Father, your word declares that you give more grace to the humble. These are humble people that are willing to acknowledge the fact that they really need help here. But thank God that you're the one that is a specialist in being a helper. So right now, through the humility and submission that these folks are releasing, I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are flooding them with the grace to possess their soul with the Holy Spirit, with the thoughts that come from heaven, the ideas, the plans that come from heaven, so that a prosperous and healthy soul is flowing into their finances, flowing into their thought life, flowing into the health of their physical bodies, flowing into all the different places that you've created them to live and to exist. That divine imprint, that genuine life that Jesus Christ came to show us. I pray for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you receive that, say amen. 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 All right, please rise. Let me bless you. Please. Please hold out your heart by holding out your hands. This is the Word of God. Beloved, I declare, I pray, I wish above all things that you prosper and experience divine health to the degree that you allow that to happen in your soul. In Jesus' name. If that's for you, grab it and hold it. Amen. Amen. All right. If you're going to Honduras, I'll see you in a few minutes.